I want to help you and help all of us. Prepare and be prepared for revival. It's coming. If you think you've seen one before, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's coming. The other day, how many of you heard that there was an earthquake in Belfair? How many of you heard that the aftershocks and up and down the area up to Vancouver, etc., how many of you have heard in the next few days after that, there have been 279 earthquakes? God is rumbling. The Holy Spirit is rumbling. And God wants to shake us loose from that which holds us back from His presence. And He wants to rumble right through this region, right through this nation, right through this earth with His presence and wake us up and do a remarkable thing called revival. How many want to see God move in revival? I read the other day, spent quite a little while reading about the 1857, 1858 revival here in America. That one of the most powerful moves of God, in fact, they say, those who were writing about it, say that it was probably more powerful than any other awakening. And we've had powerful awakenings in our land. It was probably more powerful than any other. It started with a little group of business people gathering at the lunch hour for prayer. And pretty soon, and the burden across the land was, America has given itself over to mammon. And it's given itself over to buying and selling and goods. And people became concerned and cried out to God for revival. And that God would wake up our nation and shake the banking systems. Now, shortly thereafter, 14 alone in New York, 14 major powerhouse banks in 1857 and 58 failed. They look back over the course of time now, look back at that, and the experts say there were no reasons for those banks to fail whatsoever. They had enough money and enough resources to see everybody through the shaking, the concern that was going on in the economy. But people began to pack churches. There were a lot of suffering people as well. How many know, and don't you wish it wasn't this way, that suffering sometimes wakes us up to the Lord? I wish it wasn't that way. I wish it was always blessing that got us to our knees. Don't you? Anybody? Come on, some of you are awfully quiet. I'll be honest enough to say, sometimes it's the difficult times that take me to my knees more quickly. But all of a sudden, people began to pray. And in Boston alone, there were thousands upon thousands of people cramming, jamming into churches. They would begin at 12 o'clock sharp. I read a story about a man who came from out of the city who told the innkeeper or the business keeper, he said, I got to have this stuff right now. I got to connect with a ship and I got to go home another way and I got to get this stuff right now. The innkeeper or the shopkeeper looked at him and said, sir, I am not going to do this for you right now. The most important appointment of my life is right now when we get together to pray from noon until 1. At 1 o'clock, you come right back in my store. I'll sell this to you and you can be on your way. But I'm not missing this appointment. The person went with him and got radically saved. Thousands of people. Thousands of people began to flood these places for noon prayer. It was an absolute, I could go on and on. The Spirit of the Lord poured over to schools. There was a kid, a young kid who came under such powerful conviction. I know I'm not right. I'm not right inside. And the teacher looked at him and said, son, go ahead and go on home and spend some time there and think through this. And another Christian got up and walked out with this guy. And on the way to his house, the Christian led this young man to the Lord. Soon after that, this young man and the Christian came running back into the school. He looked at everybody and said, I've become a believer in Jesus Christ. My whole life is different. Everything's different now. And every kid in that class gave their life to Jesus. They all, it continues on, they all went out and knelt down at the side of the school. And everybody started pouring out of the school, giving their life to Jesus. People walking by the schoolyard saw what was going on, began to give their life to Jesus. Bar after bar began to close as the Spirit of God poured out in revival. So, I want to ask you a question. When was the last convenient revival? When was the last convenient revival?
Well, I was about 10.
Anybody in this room, can you tell me about any convenient revival? Do you understand that revival is always inconvenient? You're not breathing, but it's true. How many know and understand? Just asking innocent questions. How many know that God doesn't punch your time card? We punch His. How many know that when God says it's time for revival, we have two words especially that we can say? Yes, Lord. Can you say with me this morning? Yes, Lord. Come on. Yes, Lord. Jesus, we want to see You. We want to hear You. We want to walk with You, be transformed by You. We want You to move freely in our region. But we have to understand, church, it is not convenient. When God wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, I've got something to say to you, that's not the time to roll over and say, no, Lord, and go back to sleep. That's the time to say, yes, Lord. When God says to you and puts the nudging in your spirit to reach out to your neighbor and you need to go and pray for him and love on him right now, and share Jesus with him. That's not the time to say, no, Lord. That's the time to say, yes, Lord. Now, we might need wisdom in how to do that and the right timing and all of that, but have you ever wondered, am I saying no to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? And Lord, if I am, I repent because I want to say at all times, yes, Lord. Come on, say it with me, church. Yes, Lord. Now, I can't promise you a convenient revival. I can promise you, if you say yes, Lord, when He's moving and you surrender, God will do powerful things in your life. I can promise you that. Sometimes you don't always feel it. Other times you do. Sometimes you just make a choice. Say, yes, Lord. Include me. Paula's not in the room. I did that for Paula, Dean. You can tell her I avoided the flowers for Paula. His Spirit comes to receptive, hungry vessels. When He's ready, how He's ready, and when He's ready. And there's only one thing we can say. Say it with me, church. Yes, Lord. Now, what do you think happened in Samaria? What happened in Samaria? What happens during revival? How do we prepare ourselves for the next move of God? How do we prepare ourselves for the next move of God? Number one, change our focus. Number one, change our focus. You ever had your vision checked? I had people say that to me in a negative way one time. You ever had your vision checked? Man, Jerry, brand new man there. Glasses are gone. Guy's got 20/25 vision, right? Wow, praise God. It was surgery, but the Lord used it to correct surgery and prayer. We have no conflict with that. But what a deal. What a deal, huh? But before then, were things out of focus every now and then?
All the time.
Jerry sat across from me the other day in our living room. We have two sofas sitting across from each other. He looks at me, he looks out the window and goes, "See that over there?" He says, "I couldn't see that a week ago." Changing our focus. What is God going to do if we'll allow Him? Again and again, we need to change our focus. Over and over, we need to change our focus. We find ourselves dwelling on or maybe watching or reading or looking at the wrong things, whether it's TV. By the way, if you watch your TV news, you'll think there's nothing but chaos in the land. There's no good anywhere. Nobody's going to impeach them all. And I don't care what side you're on. They're all rotten. How many know God loves all people and all people need Jesus? For God so loved the world, especially those in Washington, D.C., that He gave His only begotten Son for us. But I want to use a computer term. We need to reboot our lives as many times as we need to do it to get His focus. Someone say amen. The scripture says, Colossians 3, verse 1. Read it out loud with me, please, would you? Then you were raised with Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1. Seek those things which are where? Above. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Focus. Where are we supposed to focus? On things above. Look at it out of the New Living. Since you've been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Jesus keeps working with us until we become just like Him, think like Him, act like Him, walk like Him, talk like Him. That's not introspective. That's just growing up talk. When my kids were little, and usually when we were little kids, unless there were abusive situations, and sometimes there were, and our hearts grieve for you, the Father God's heart grieves for that situation. But when my kids were little, and probably like you, when we were little, we wanted to be like Dad, or we wanted to be like Mom. Then we got a little older, we didn't want to be like Dad. We did not want to be like Mom. Then we got a little older, we turned to each other, we go, "I'm acting just like my dad." Come on, isn't that the truth? But you know, when my kids were little, it was so cool. One day, Gail, who passed away, said, "Gail," and I was sitting in the living room. All of a sudden, we hear this shout, and I said, "Hallelujah, hallelujah!" And it's out on our deck, our balcony. "Praise God, hallelujah!" I'm going, "Whoa, revival has hit. It started with my kids." Go out to the balcony, got turned over chairs. Chairs are turned over. And the kids are out there shouting. And then we're just watching, you know. And then all of a sudden, one grabs one or the other, puts him down, brings him out, and they start shouting, "Hallelujah, praise God." They were doing what they see us do at baptism. They were playing water baptism. You know, we want to be like Dad. So He keeps working with us, and sometimes it takes a change of focus as we grow. When was the last time, it's a gentle question, not a harsh question, I ask it of myself, when was the last time you prayed with a passionate heart, "Jesus, make me just like You, just like You, no matter what it takes, Lord, my thoughts, my heart, my hopes, my dream, everything I do, make me like You." Now, how many are glad you're saved by grace? Turn to each other and say, "Grace is bigger than your sin and mine. Grace is bigger than your sin and mine. But Lord, let everything I think and do be of You." That's a mature, growing attitude of change. "Lord, I'll reboot. Whatever You need me to do, I'll do. Until my screen looks just like You. Till what comes up on my screensaver." How many are glad what you really think sometimes doesn't show up on your screensaver? "Until this picture on my screensaver comes up just like Jesus. Keep changing me, Lord." Watch the scripture, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, out of the New King James. I'm going to do several verses this morning out of several versions so you see it in a fresh way. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. And we spoke last week of the Corinthian bronze mirrors, remember? They were dim, you couldn't see, and could only get a partial appearance, a partial look. We all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being, say the word with me, transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, out of the new living. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Here it is out of the Message. All of us, nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. You know, my privilege and the privilege of the worship team that is turned and facing your direction, as we worship God, we get to look out and see the glory of God and joy of Jesus on your countenances. It's a beautiful thing to behold as we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. Now turn to each other, make it sweet, turn to each other and say, hello, beautiful. Okay, no flirting out there. That's not what I mean. Hello, beautiful. So we change our focus. What is it we're seeing? If we need to reboot, we'll keep rebooting, Lord. So we focus on the right things. Number two, change our minds. Change our minds. Anybody in this room ever had a time where you changed your mind? Yeah. Maybe in disciplining a child, you say, this is what it's going to be. Then a little later, you're sitting there going, did I do the right thing? Mm-hmm. Then a little later, you go, maybe I didn't do the right thing. Then a little later, you go, I blew it. Son, daughter, let's change that. I listened a long time ago, must be nearly 45 years ago, to an incredible message series from an incredible Bible teacher on the spirit of deception. And he was saying the spirit of deception works in such a way that you start off convinced you are right. Someone comes and gives you bad time. You know you did the right thing. You said the right thing. You're right. And then when the spirit of the Lord works and you're not right, it becomes something like, Maybe I'm not all the way right. Some of that's right. And then the Spirit of the Lord keeps working. You're looking at me like you've never been through this. And the Spirit of the Lord keeps working and you go, you know, maybe I didn't handle that. Say, maybe I'm not right. And the Spirit of the Lord keeps working and finally realize, Lord, forgive me. I blew that. I was wrong. And the way to get out of that, if you need to in relationships, is you go back to where you blew it. And you say, you know, right there, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? You're either with the Lord or with another person. But He changes our minds. Sometimes that's how it is with the Lord. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Say it with me, please, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Out of the NIV, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then out of the New Living, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How many think sometimes you need changed thinking? Aren't you glad that the Lord does that work with us? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I'm going to give you this out of two more translations. Hang in there with me. I want you to see what does the Bible actually teach about this. Now out of the Message. And the Message is delightful because it's kind of like the New Passion Translation, where you get to see it in a vivid way and you look at it from a little different angle and it means something more. But out of the Message, this says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture. This is powerful and this is convicting. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Wow. You'll be changed from the inside out. How many know, I'm going to interrupt this. How many know that our land has demonic spirits released in it now that don't want to let go, and it's confusion and chaos in our land? Do you understand that when you go to Facebook, you're still called to be a Christian? And there have been much on either side of political issues where people have betrayed their walk with Jesus Christ. So I stand here in the pulpit. By the way, you don't want me if I stand here only to tell you what you want to hear. You don't want me. If I get to that place as your pastor, I'm done. So I got to say some things sometimes that are uncomfortable for me as for you, as well as for you. But you know what? When we go to the Facebook, and I don't try to go there very often because it is lots of times so unedifying. And I don't care if you're eating that nice looking plate of nachos. I just don't care. I'm kind of a bottom line guy. I look at those things and go, just eat it. Go. I don't care what you're eating. Just eat it. Anyway. But there have been some of the most ungodly, wicked things said on both sides. That's why here in this church, we don't spell our names with a capital R or a capital D. We spell his name capital J-E-S-U-S. Someone say amen. Amen. Now, I have personal convictions and persuasions, and I'm not afraid to tell you what they are. But I believe we're here to help all people. God said he so loved the world. Come on. Isn't that truth? You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down. Watch. To its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. Develops well-formed maturity in you. Okay, I'm going to do this out of one more verse. I'm sure you're getting the point. You change your focus, you change your mind. There is a translation that you haven't heard probably too much about. Some of you might. If you're really into studying the scripture, there's a pretty cool translation that gives you the sense of the verses. It's called the Weest translation. His name is spelled W-E-U-E-S-T, I believe. We'll see in a moment. But it's a whole different flavor. But watch what happens with this verse. W-U-E-S-T. Watch this. Stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. Say it with me. But is patterned after this age. Wow. Anybody read stuff like that and go, oh, boy, man, Lord, forgive me. I mean, sometimes the Lord shows us as we keep walking with him. Yeah, have you ever had a thing where, we talked about this before, there's a show that, man, I recommended to people, it was a cool show, and all of a sudden the next week something happens, you go, just dying inside, I don't want anything to do with that show anymore. Because I don't want that to be portrayed as what people think of what I agree with. Okay, so change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to the test what is the will of God, the good and well-pleasing and complete will, and having found that it meets specification, placing your approval on it. By the way, there are some who teach, and you may have heard, there are three levels of God's will. There's a good will, there's an acceptable will, and there's a perfect will. And I don't do the perfect will. That's just, I'll try to do that. I'll just do what's acceptable to God. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there is God's will and there is that which is not God's will. And that which is God's will is good and perfect and acceptable to God. Amen. Somebody say, Lord, help me more. Walk in your perfect, in your good, and your acceptable will. See, it's just one heart of God that is expressed. Hal Lindsey, I was watching a brief show the other night, Hal Lindsey, and he said this statement. Some people say he's too heavenly minded and no earthly good. You've heard the phrase. And Hal Lindsey went on to say, but most are too earthly minded to be of any heavenly good. Whoa. Wow, Lord, keep changing us. Come on. Everybody still breathing here this morning? We say we want revival. Okay, how do we get it? Well, all right, we change our focus. It's not convenient. We understand that. We change then our minds. We change our thinking. And Lord, keep working with me. And I want to see you. And thank God it's by grace we're saved. We got a long way to go before we're guilty of being too heavenly minded. Don't you think? Watch what the scripture says, Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Out of the Message. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. Come on, say it with me. That's where the action is. Again, with passion, put it into it. That's where the action is. I love that. See things from His perspective. Don't conform to the world. Be transformed. Chili con carne. Chili with meat. Conform with formation. Don't be formed after the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. All right. Change your focus. Change your mind. Change our lives. Change your focus. Change your mind. Change your life. If you change your focus, if you change your mind, you'll change your life. Amen? In Acts 8, Stephen had been stoned. Not in the 2016 or 2017 fashion, but Stephen had been tragically stoned to death. Saul had consented, and Saul was wreaking havoc in the church. The believers were literally scattered from Jerusalem. But Philip went to Samaria. Verses 6 through 8. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. What happened in Samaria? Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were what?
Healed.
There was what?
Great.
Come on, there was what? Great joy. In that city. The works of God were seen and heard. They were demonstrable. They could see them. They could hear them. And God moved into their world. They gave room for God to move. Responsive hearts say, yes, Lord. Come on. Yes, Lord. You are welcome. We want you to move here. What happened? What happened? Unclean spirits came out. This is the area where he traveled, and you'll see he went to Samaria. This is Philip who traveled, and you remember he led the Ethiopian to Jesus. And there's much story here, but this is where he went to Samaria. But unclean spirits came crying out. They cried with a loud voice. The Bible says they came out of many that were possessed. If you've surrendered to Jesus, can you have a demon? The authority that's in Christ can show you that there is an opportunity for the devil to oppress you. But if you've surrendered to Jesus, not to necessarily possess you. There's a difference between being oppressed of the devil and possessed by the devil. But if you've opened a wide door to the devil, that's why, guys, and I say guys especially, but that's why we stay away from pornographic stuff. Stay away from it. Because you open a door for the demonic spirit to come and shake you all around. Bob Mumford used to talk about ministering to people. It was like you could see a handle sticking out from them. Like the end of a pan, you know what I'm saying? A frying pan. There's a handle hanging there. And because you open a door, the devil shoves that pan in there, and then he just grabs the handle and shakes it all around whenever he wants to give you a bad time. But deliverance comes along. And how many know, we think of this terrible thing, oh, deliverance is such a mess. How many know many of God's people just need to be set free through the blood of Jesus? And it doesn't have to be this huge dramatic thing. Jesus is the one in power. Come out in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, the power. You look all through the scripture, and a third of Jesus' ministry, pretty much, was casting out evil spirits. So you will hear us when we pray for people, binding demonic spirits and releasing the spirit of Jesus on people. And so they came out and they were crying out. It was demonstrable. Let me give you a good clue. If something in you, now just, I'm not looking at anybody in specific. I'm just giving you a good clue. If something in you rankles at the move of God's Spirit, you're not listening to the right voice. Now, if what we're doing, as Pastor Sherry says, if what we're doing isn't in the Word of God, it's not worth the powder to blow it up. If it's in the Scripture, and God's doing what He's done in the Scripture, and we give Him room, and you rankle at the presence of God. I don't want this. This is terrible. Why is that pastor doing this again? Well, then we'd be honored to pray for you. So you're set free from that attitude. You follow what I'm saying? I'm just saying it's a good rule of thumb. Is what's working inside of me bringing me closer to Jesus or taking me farther away from Him and keeping me from Him? So when they were set free, there's the bottom line, guys. When you're set free from that kind of a problem or that kind of an oppressing spirit, what happened in that city? There was great joy in the city. Great joy. The result of letting God do something supernatural in you and me is great joy. Hallelujah, I'm free. When you gave your life to Jesus, did you get set free? Were you ever joyful? Tell me your faces right now, but you're joyful. You see what I'm saying? Man, there's something that can be seen. The paralyzed, the lame were healed. That literally means in the Greek, the enfeebled and the paralyzed. They were halt. They were limping. They were healed. They were relieved. They were cured. It took time for it to happen. That's why we never did put a roast in our oven on Sundays that were supposed to be done by 12 o'clock noon. I'd rather have a bologna sandwich and taking time to be in the presence of God. I mean it. Give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich if that's all that's left. I don't care. I'd rather be in the presence of God. And if it takes a little longer, it's okay. It's okay. Jesus released miracles and changed lives and changed cities. What happened in Samaria? We want Him to change us and our city, our region, our nation. It's going to take time. But what was the result? Great joy. Literally in the Greek, it means mega delight. But we have to be willing. Say it with me, would you? To take time for God. He does what He wants, when He wants, and how He wants. You want great joy in your life and in your city? Come on. I'm asking. You want great joy in your city? Then let's let God move. By many or by few, let's let God move. And you know, it even sounds, are you tracking with me? That even sounds arrogant to say, doesn't it? Let's let God move. Let's just say, God, You move. And we'll say, come on, what are we going to say?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Come to church expecting God to move. And when He's moved on you, I want to urge you, when you go home on Sundays, I want you to say, God did something for me. God spoke something to my heart. Let's get back into the Scripture, honey, or if you're by yourself, let's get back into the Scripture. I want to pray even more about this thing that God did in my life this morning or what I saw. Lord, what did You do? Show me. Show it to me in the Scriptures. And then we get together with friends and we could talk about the latest TV show, or we could say, God, you know, the Lord did this for me on Sunday. What did He do for you? What did you hear from the message? What did God speak to your heart? And we've had two major moves of God just in the month of February here on Sunday mornings. And we should be talking it up and encouraging one another. And you come to Grace Gathering on Wednesday night and you come back on Sunday morning and you go, praise God, Jeannie, He's still at work.
He certainly is.
You hear what I'm saying? We encourage each other. And you might look at each other and you say, yeah, well, you know, I need more prayer than I guess. Or you lay hands on somebody. You don't throttle them, but you lay hands on them. Jesus wants to do something great for you too. But we encourage each other. He does what He wants. when he wants, how he wants. We'll reboot as many times as we need to let Jesus do just exactly what he wants. He doesn't submit to us. We submit to him. Come to church expecting Jesus to move. Come on. Come to church expecting Jesus to move. Though I love my Presbyterian brethren, if you came to church expecting me to preach like a Presbyterian, you're going to be disappointed. What happened in Samaria? What happened? Philip was just alive with Jesus. They had to get out of Jerusalem. Persecution had come. And God was trying to spread the word. And man, did he go spread the word. He walks into the city. He starts talking about what's the most important thing to him. About this Jesus who loved him and delivered him and saved him. And he just starts talking to people about Jesus. And all of a sudden, miracles start happening. People get delivered and people get saved. And oh my gracious, a great miracle happens in this town. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit hadn't even yet fallen on them in a more powerful way. So when we come, when we go home, when we see our friends and neighbors, what comes out? When we see each other later in the day or in the week, what comes out? The presence of God. You know, like two coffee cups or two teacups, you bounce them together, what spills out? If there is a problem that comes, you bump next to each other, what comes out? The love of Jesus. What God's doing. What happened in Samaria? Is he moved by his Spirit. You want him to do that here? Stand with me, would you, church? Pastor Sherry, would you come up and join me up here, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Change your focus. Change your mind. Change your life. Change your focus. Change your mind. Change your life. And I'm just asking her to come here, standing next to me, so we can look at you and tell you that we love you. And we are in this with you. And as for me and my house, we say, yes, Lord. Yes. How about you? Yes. Come on, raise your hands. Lord Jesus, we want to see you move. We want to see what you want to do. And we're hungry to see you do it. Lord, we say yes to you. We love and worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if the Lord's moved on your heart this morning or spoken anything to your spirit, then take time. If you want to come up front for prayer, we'll be here to pray with you. If you want prayer to give your life to Jesus, if you haven't done that yet, we'll do that with you. Pastor Sherry, did you have something on your heart?
I do. I think this is a key message for this church, for this body. And I've written some meditation questions that you can answer this week. If you would like to receive this set of questions, if you will put your name and your email on this piece of paper, then I will email you these. We'll have them either tonight or tomorrow morning. They will arrive in your boxes. But God just started giving me questions that we need to answer as response to the message. So please sign this. It'll be at the back table. I'll put it back there because there's pens. Also, those who said they would like to be intercessors, please sign up on this list. And I would like a volunteer, I've written down at the bottom, of a person that would be willing to be the technical part, to help me with the technical part of the intercessors, okay? Setting up the website in a certain way for that, or emails or whatever. I need to talk. So if you're interested in helping on the technical part of it, I'll get together with you. If there's more than one, hallelujah. Let's make it happen. Amen.
Very good. Raised their hands and said yes to you over and over and over again. We give you room to do what you want to do. We love you with our whole hearts, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us. Lord, like a rumbling that's taking place in the ground, in the earth, there's a rumbling of your Spirit in this earth, in our lives. And Lord, we say, have your liberty. Do what you want. Have it your way. We say yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said, bless your people as they go from this place. You've given them all a future and a hope in the name of Jesus. Amen.